I don't know if you've had a nativity set, have you? Are you a nativity set sort of household? As you can see, ours didn't make it out the box this year for some reason, so I thought it was about time it came out. I'm not quite sure why it was still in the garage, but it was. But I thought tonight it was time to bring it out. They come in all sorts of shapes and sizes, nativities, don't they? And some of them are quite weird. I think ours is classed as one of the weird ones, actually. You probably won't be able to see it very well, but it's very cute anyway. I don't know, that must be a shepherd, I think. There could be Joseph. I'm always a bit confused as to who's who in some of these nativity sets. Anybody have any sort of animal nativity set? Or I don't know, that must be Mary. Well, we'll have Mary there. There's so many to unravel. You've got all right. You're all right for time, aren't you? I think so. Oh, look, I found Jesus. So he's in there. That's good news. And so we go on and on. All these people who are part of the nativity setup. The animals, of course. I've got a cow. I've got a sheep. Must have a sheep. What else have I got here? Oh, a donkey. Very good. This is some set, isn't it? Only seven more to go, so hold on, we'll be okay. Is that a king? Oh, it's a shepherd, maybe. Looks like he's got a pint glass in his hand, that one, I'm not sure, but he's been to the inn before he came to the stable, obviously. There's definitely a king here, one king, and I didn't realize quite two kings, brilliant. Last one, I wonder what this is. Any guesses what this might be? Oh, it's a shepherd. There we are. Well done. A shepherd. Very important, aren't they, nativity sets? And when you see a nativity scene, of course, or some of you may have been to a school to see a nativity play, these scenes are always very static, aren't they? You know, they don't go anywhere. They're just there, and that is it. And I guess once you've seen it once, then you sort of forget that it's there sometimes as well. It can happen in a school play as well, although school nativity scenes tend to be a bit more dynamic because you're never quite sure what is going to happen next, do you? Sometimes teachers have bright ideas to include as many different characters as they can, and sometimes you'll see ballet dancers in the shed, sometimes the balloon jugglers or basketball players or bass guitarists. I mean, all of them have a place in the nativity, but it just creates even more chaos for all those who are doing it as well. And of course, we know the story. Mary and Joseph arrive into Bethlehem with a donkey normally. Is that fair enough? You do know there's no donkey mentioned in the Bible at all, don't you? Yeah, not a mention of a donkey in the Bible, but somehow a donkey has found its way into the nativity scene. And it's okay, I don't mind donkeys, they're okay. Mary and Joseph knock on every door in the town until they find one innkeeper who says, yes, I've got some room around the back. And then, of course, they go into the stable and a baby is born. And it's as simple as that. I don't know what all the fuss is about babies being born, because it seemed very simple in this stable. So I think we'll go for that one. The baby is then put in a container that usually has straw in. The shepherds arrive with some very cuddly lambs, although lambs are not mentioned in the Bible either. Angels appear, then three kings arrive, and we don't know whether there were three kings or not, because the Bible doesn't say there were just three of them. It just tells us there were three gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, I'm not debunking the story. I'm just saying that sometimes the nativity scene isn't actually what it says happened, but it's as close as we can get. And then, of course, what happens next, once everybody's in place in the nativity scene, they sing Away in a Manger, don't they, of course? And they sing about a baby that never cries, which is quite weird, really, because in my experience, babies tend to cry. In fact, that's what they should do, but this particular baby doesn't cry at all. So there's a lot going on in the nativity scene, isn't there? And the story's been told, the scene is set up, they stand very still until the end, of course, is pronounced, and then the applause resounds through the school hall, and off they go, exiting stage left or stage right. They're not quite sure which one to go. Parents and grandparents wipe tears from their eyes. Teachers breathe a sigh of collective relief that nothing too bad has happened. They've all still managed to be there. They pack up the costumes, they pack up the scenery, all the backdrops, and off we go for the Christmas holidays, and we don't need to do it all for another year. Phew, at last. But what really happened next? After the baby Jesus has been packed away for another year, the paper crowns have been put into a box, the straw all swept up. It seems like it's the end of the story completely. And maybe that's what happens in your life. Maybe this Christmas season is all very neatly packed away. All the decorations are put in that same box that you've had for decades. They go back in the same place that you've always put them in, whether that's the garage or it's the loft or somewhere that you'll know for next year. You'll know exactly where it is and you'll be able to get it down and put it back for 2025 as well. And so life just moves on. It just moves on into a new year, and we just prepare for the next one. And some of you are already preparing for next Christmas, I'm sure, by buying all the bargains that you can at all the shops that are selling everything off very cheaply already. But what if it could be different? What if we didn't have to pack away the story? What if we did allow the story to continue to be told throughout the year? What could be different? Because no one is meant to stay in the nativity scene. No one's meant to stay there because it's only just the beginning of what comes next. In the Bible readings we had, we see that the shepherds return back to the fields to shepherd their sheep. The wise men or kings or magi, they go back to staring at the stars again. Joseph goes back to cutting wood in his carpentry workshop, and Mary begins to build a home and a family with love. And like every other child, Jesus, of course, begins to grow up. A baby becomes a toddler. If you've noticed, that tends to happen. Urged to walk and talk, and then being told when they can very politely to sit down and be quiet because we don't want them running away and they're talking far too much now. He gets taller. He learns so much so quickly until at the age of 13, as a Jewish boy, it's bar mitzvah time, and the child becomes an adult, takes on their own responsibility, and the parents breathe a sigh of relief that they are no longer responsible for their child's sins. Although, of course, with it being Jesus, it was probably a little bit different for them in that day. But everyone has to walk away from the stable and get on with life. You have to do that. But now, of course, life can look very different and feel very different from what it looked like before all this happened. When everybody was hoping that someone would come, hoping that life could be different, hoping that the world could be changed. And then it did. And so from that moment on, life could never, ever be the same again for any of us. Life begins to look and feel a lot different. It's like everyone who witnessed the birth or everyone who acknowledged the birth has been born again themselves. So the shepherds go back to the fields, and the Bible tells us they glorified and praised God for all the things that they had seen and heard. They had a story to tell of this amazing scene in that stable. The Magi returned to the east, but they returned another way with a story of how the star had stopped and a story of the Son of God that they bowed down to and they worshiped with their gifts. And Joseph continued to do what God had asked him to do, to be the best dad that he could possibly be. And soon he was to take his new family on a road trip adventure that would take them to Egypt to escape the impending purge of the children ordered by King Herod. And Mary treasured it all, knowing that deep down it would lead to pain and sorrow, but also to hope and a future. You see, the birth of Jesus is meant to change us. It's meant to impact us. Just like it changed everyone involved in the first nativity scene, the real one, the original story. It's meant to make a difference to us because Jesus was the gift to each one of us that God had prepared in advance to come to be the Savior of the world, to put us back in relationship with a God who loved us from the very beginning into eternity. Jesus didn't stay in the manger as a baby, and we're not meant to stay in the stable either. The story keeps moving forward. And that's, I think, the invitation of Christmas for us all. We're invited to move forward with Jesus and the story he came to tell and the good news he came to announce. See, in Isaiah, the prophet could see it coming. He prophesied that the virgin would conceive and give birth to a son, and that he would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Not just in that stable scene, but God with us today, now, tomorrow, in your future, that God is with us. He said that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned, a light that nothing can ever put out. And that light is wrapped up in who Jesus is and what he came to do. The angel sang good news, and Jesus lived out this good news that would be for all people everywhere for all time. See, the story of the night of the birth of Jesus has become a season that sometimes we just live through, with the lights and the music and the beeping, beeping of a credit card machine that we keep tapping, and already we're getting ready perhaps for next year. And there's nothing wrong with celebrating Christmas, of course there isn't. We love celebrating, but if we get stuck in the stable and we stay in the straw, then I think we'll have missed what the whole story is all about. This is a story that is just beginning and that continues to live itself out in the lives of everyone who acknowledges who Jesus is and wants to live their life according to the good news that he came to bring. So today I want to invite you to leave the stable and to live every day a down-to-earth life in the reality of what is happening and what you do and what you experience, but you're changed by the coming of Jesus, who brought that good news for you each day. Today, the angel said, Jesus the Savior has been born to you, for you, because of you, and this is just the beginning. The angels left. The shepherds left, the magi left, Joseph and Mary left, the sheep left, the donkeys left, and if there are camels, giraffes and lobsters in your nativity scene, they left as well. And when they left, that's when life began. A brand new start that is still an opportunity for each of us today. Hope for a future because Jesus has been born. So back to the fields, back to the workshop, back to the observatory, back to the cooking and the cleaning, but changed. And I wonder if this year that change might happen in your life as well. That in the midst of your everyday, you will know the presence and the power of Jesus, his love for you that started in this incredible story, but continues to be part of a life in our world that each of us can embrace. So investigate it, follow it like the Magi did, contemplate it like Mary did, listen and celebrate like the shepherds did, and decide to live your life from now on differently because of Jesus. We're going to have to pack this nativity scene away, but don't let the story end there for you. Let it be the beginning of life and life in all its fullness. Of a God who has kept his promise that he has come to us, born as one of us, and that he is with us. May you know that this season and experience the joy that knowing him brings. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you that you came. We thank you that you lived, that you taught, that you died on that cross, that you rose again. And I pray that each of us might know the joy of the forgiveness that you came to offer us. Forgiveness for the past, a freedom in the present, and life fulfilled for the future. Help us to remember this story, but help us too to continue to write the story that you long for us to have in each of our lives, that we too will get up and follow and discover you as the way, the truth, and the life. I pray that in your powerful name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.